भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्ट दृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः. This is Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, entitled Narad Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. And today we're on the final text of the chapter, number 44. Kindly repeat. Shri Shuka Uvacha Pratijagrahatad Barham Narada Sadhu Sammataha एतावान् साधवादो हि तितिक्षेतेश्वरः स्वयम् श्रीशुक उवाच प्रतिजग्राह तद्बाह्यम् नारदः साधु सम्मतः एतावान् साधवादो हि तितिक्षेतेश्वरः स्वयम् श्रीशुक उवाच प्रतिजग्राह तद्बाढम् नारदः साधु सम्मतः एतावान् साधुवादो हि तितिक्षेतेश्वरः स्वयम् तिजग्राह तद्बाढम् नारदः साधु सम्मतः एतावान् साधुवादो हि तितिक्षेतेश्वरः स्वयम् श्रीशुक उवाच प्रतिजग्राह तद्बाढम् नारदः साधु सम्मतः प्रतिजग्राह तद्बाढम् नारदः साधु सम्मतः Matajis, Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Pratijagraha, accepted, tat, that, bhartham, so be it, narada, narada muni, sadhu sammataha, who is an approved sadhu, etavan, this much, sadhuvadaha, appropriate for a saintly person. He, indeed, titikshetha, he may tolerate, Ishwaraha, although able to curse Prajapati Daksha, Swayam, himself, translation. Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, my dear king, since Narad Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tadbarham, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.21, Titikshavaha karunikaha suhrada sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shantaha sadhavaha sadhubhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And all of his characteristics are sublime. Because Narad Muni is the most elevated of sadhus, devotees, to deliver Prajapati Daksha, he silently tolerated the curse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this principle to all his devotees. Trinad api sunichena tarorivasa hishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world or all over the universe should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree. Because a preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Indeed, a preacher must face many, many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must also suffer personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers, Jagai and Madhai, they injured him and made his head bleed. But nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues, who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narad was not very astonishing, and he tolerated it. Now, it may be asked why Narad Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all his accusations and curses. Was that for Daksha's deliverance? The answer is yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after being insulted by Prajapati Daksha, Narad Muni should have left immediately, but he purposely stayed to hear all of Daksha's strong words so that Daksha might be relieved of his anger. Prajapati Daksha was not an ordinary man. He had accumulated the results of many pious activities. Therefore, Narad Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and freed from anger, would repent his misbehavior and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnava and be delivered. When Jagai and Madhai offended Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda stood tolerantly, and therefore both brothers fell at his lotus feet and repented. Consequently, they later became perfect Vaishnavas. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the sixth canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Narad Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Miena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savathutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye. Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sinchupya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Shukdev Goswami continued, My dear King, since Narad Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tadbarham, yes, what you have said is good, I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. This is one of those verses in which we can see how Srila Prabhupada has incorporated the comments of the predecessor acharyas into his translation, which is not exactly a literal translation, more it's a paraphrasing of the verse, but with clearly with the comments of all previous acharyas incorporated, how they've understood this verse. The first word is pratijagraha, which means he accepted. Graha means to grab something or to take something in your hand. And pratigraha means to accept something in return. Just like we have of the six duties of the Brahmins, what are they? Patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dana. So here we have pratijagraha, past simple perfect tense. And tadbarham means I accept. That's whatever you've said, it's okay with me. Tatastu, as they say in Sanskrit. Narada sadhu sammataha. And it's said here that Narad Muni is sadhu sammata. Sammata means it's accepted universally. What do we say when there's a consensus among all of the unanimous? Unanimously approved by all of the sadhus, Narad Muni. Why? Etavan, that's the next thing which is significant here. Etavan means this much. So how much is this much? That we'll get to in a moment. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is following Sridhar Swami's commentator, Vamshidhara, has made the most elaborate commentary on this verse with regards to this idea of etavan. And then sadhuvadohi. This word sadhuvada means, sometimes we used to say this in ISKCON, I haven't heard it in quite some time. When someone does something or says something is very good, the assembly of devotees say what? Sadhu, sadhu. So this is going on since time immemorial. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes the comment here. He says, Prasiddhasya sadhuvada shabdasya api eshaiva nirukti dityaha. According to the dictionary, this is the idea of the word sadhuvada. When we see it throughout the Bhagavatam also, means that the sadhus approve. They want to say, yes, this is good. So, titiksheta means he tolerated. Ishwara Swayam, although he himself is the Lord, he's the more powerful of the two. So they've also described here that because he was capable of overcoming that curse, pratishaptum samarthoapi, therefore he's called Ishvara. But sadhava evam eva sahanta iti artha. The idea is that one is a sadhu if he's able to display this kind of behavior, this kind of sahishnata. Titiksheta means to saheti also, saheta, to tolerate. So Prabhupada, therefore, it's not surprising that he quotes this verse. Tadorapi sahishnuna. Sahishnu means someone who can tolerate something, who can tolerate more than a tree. I was taking a walk up and down the block here and saw the magnolia trees in front, and I counted the number of times that their branches have been cut off over the years. It was at least maybe 40, 50 times they have given their limbs. That is tolerance. So this is the idea. Now, he quotes, first of all, he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25:21. Titikshavaha karunikaha suhrada sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhubhushanaha. Titikshava means he's able to tolerate the fools, the mistreatment from fools. How much so? Etavan? It means up to this point. There's a very nice verse in the first canto with regards to Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by the son, the immature Brahmin boy named Sringhi, the son of Shamika Rishi. It says, Tiraskrita vipralabdhaha shaptaha kshitpra hata api nasyatat pratikuravanti tad bhaktaha prabhavo apihi. That means that even the power of the devotees is such that even though they are defamed, tiraskrita means defamed or abused, reviled, blasphemed, if you will. Actually, if you'll notice, within the last, say, half dozen verses here, Daksha Maharaj has been getting heavier and heavier and heavier with each verse. More and more blasphemous and outrageous offenses towards Narad Muni, to the extent that yesterday he called Narad Muni a murha. What does murha mean? A fool, a rascal, foolish animal. He called Narad Muni a foolish animal, Daksha. So this is, as we heard from Amala Bhakta Prabhu recently, one has to tolerate the slings and arrows of outrageous misfortune. Actually, Shakespeare said that. Because this world will hurl all sorts of abuses and defamy at you. Sooner or later, everyone in this room is going to have to undergo this. So this is why we have. Even amongst those that we worship, great august authorities such as Narad Muni and Daksha Maharaj, we see that there are such problems. There is conflict. And we have to learn how to deal with it with reference to how they have dealt with it. Therefore, sadhu sammata means that the sadhus approve this behavior of Narad Muni. In almost every case we see where there's a great soul being defamed or abused, we can see that this is what he does. He tolerates it. He says nothing. He doesn't pratikurvanti. He doesn't try to react in a negative way. So, tiraskrita, you may be defamed. Vipralabdha, you will be cheated. Sometimes we've been cheated. Or maybe we're being cheated now. Or we'll be cheated in the future. Shapta, you may be cursed. Kshipta, you may be ignored. That's another thing that's intolerable sometimes. So you're trying to, there's something very urgent, you need some attention, and someone simply ignores it. Very difficult to deal with that. Or kshipta can also mean you're just thrown aside, dismissed, not interested, next. This is also not very pleasing. Hata api, even you may be killed, as Prabhupada has given the example of Jesus Christ. So na asya tat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhavopihi. But the devotee even still does not try to retaliate. This is the character of the devotee. So titikshava and karunika, He is merciful to those. And it's Karunikalpa is defined by, in third canto, by commentators as he's neglectful of his own desires. And he's very attentive to the desires of others or to the welfare of others in particular. So merciful. So, therefore, he can be Suhrida Sarvadehinam. He can actually be the friend or the well-wisher. There are two kinds of friends, Prabhupada was saying the other day. One is Mitra. That means an ordinary friend. But Suhrit, that means a friend who is really thinking of your welfare also. It's a closer level of friendship because someone who really cares about you, if he sees you're doing something wrong, he has to say something. If someone doesn't really care about you, then he may not say something. So, Suhrit. Sadhu is also Suhrida. Sarvadehinam. He can be the friend of all living entities only because he tolerates those who are abusive towards him, and he's merciful towards those that he is in a superior position, Ishwara. So, therefore, Ajata Shatrava, he has no enemies. And Shanta, he's very peaceful. He's not disturbed by attachment or by aversion. Later on in the first canto, we have, well, throughout the whole Bhagavatam, we have two words are used. Navyathanti nahrishyanti. He doesn't become elated when he receives something very pleasing. He doesn't become bent out of shape, as we say, disturbed when things don't go right. This is the ideal, at least, that we should work towards. That's shanta. Sadhava sadhubhushana. And this is understood in two ways. The sadhu is therefore either himself a jewel-like devotee we speak of sometimes, or among the community of sadhus, he is considered to be these characteristics that he demonstrates are considered to be like jewels. So this is how Prabhupada understands this verse. And then he comes to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that why did Narad Muni not leave the scene immediately? One would reason, or could reason, that if Narad Muni is committing such blasphemy, it's better to leave just so that he stops his offenses. Because if you're not there for someone to criticize like this, then they won't become entangled. But he stayed. He didn't go. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur can understand Narad Muni's mind. How can Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur understand the reason that Narad Muni did not leave? This is something we have to consider. How does he know? He refers back to the seventh canto when Narad Muni was giving instructions on for civilized human beings. In chapter 15 of the seventh canto, text number 20, he says, Kamasyantam hikshutridbhyam krodhasyaitat phalodayat. This line is quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti. Krodhasyaitat phalodayat. Jano yati na lobhasyat jitva bhuktva dishobhuvaha. The strong bodily desires and needs of a person disturbed by hunger and thirst are certainly satisfied when he eats. Similarly, if one becomes very angry, that anger is satisfied by chastisement and its reaction. But as for greed, even if a greedy person has controlled all the directions of the world or has enjoyed everything in the world, still he's not satisfied. So that's a separate context, but the principle here is krodhasyaitat phalodayat. If someone is angry, you have to give him the satisfaction of lashing out. He needs to vent his emotions. You certainly cannot preach to a person in that condition. And even if you leave, that may not also work. So it would seem, judging from what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said about this, that Narad Muni appreciated the need for Daksha to vent his emotions in this way. And so he stayed. But there's a second reason for this also. And that is that he says that later on, when Daksha calms down, he will look back and consider his behavior, that I called Narad Muni a stupid animal. I blaspheme Narad Muni in so many ways. He would feel some shame over this. He would feel repentant. That's called anutapa. And he would begin to consider that what is such behavior of the devotees of Lord Vishnu, those who have gone back to Godhead, such as Sanaka and others, great souls? Sanaka, who is Sanaka Rishi, right, of the Sanaka Kumaras, of the four Kumaras, they also had to tolerate curses like this, right? Jayavijaya. So he would consider that even though they're blasphemed, even though they're cursed, they don't do anything. What kind of saintly persons are these? And in this way, the bhakti bija would be planted in his consciousness. So Narad Muni stayed, only for that reason, to deliver him in that way. Thinking like this, he didn't go anywhere. Now there's another thing to consider here, which is coming from Jiva Goswami. Sri Narada Dakshaparadhoyam Pratina Shiva Aparadha Dusamskarena. That means that Daksha, Prajapati Daksha, this current offense that we're looking at, it is the result of the samskar that was created in his consciousness when he had previously offended Lord Shiva. We know from the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains, particularly with regards to pungent activity, sinful activity, but offenses are also in that category, that when you plant that seed, it may not fructify immediately, but it will fructify because it is in your consciousness and it leaves a samskar. And that trace or that samskar, that psychological residue, if you will, of that heavy activity, it creates a further propensity to perform the same activity again. And this is how Daksha Maharaj has gotten into trouble again. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Dakshasya tu tattad drishtva oho chandrartham auler aparathashesha prabalyam iti smritva tatona sapatam. So that means that he could remember the severity of the result of his previously having offended Chandramali. Chandramali means Lord Shiva. What was the severity of his previous offense? What happened? He got a goat head. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing a goat's head on your shoulders. This was Daksha's position. Sometimes it's like this. When we commit offenses, we get very heavy reactions. Someone was recently sharing with me this famous holy place in South India, Suchindram. So in that place, that was the place where Indra went after he had committed a similar offense. Indra, he gets excited sometimes around the women. And he was attracted to the sage's wife, Ahalya. And he took the form of sage Gautama. Well, actually, first he took the form of a cock who crows in the early morning. And when Gautama Rishi heard this, he got up out of bed and he went to go and take his bath. When he was gone, Indra took the form of Gautama himself and went and tried to enjoy with his wife Ahalya, who was still in bed. Even on royal roads, Prabhupada says, there are accidents. Even when you're the king of heaven, what to speak of that? Let's talk about, who was it? Brihaspati? He was the chief priest of the demigods, and he raped his brother's pregnant wife, impelled by the same passion. Heavy, heavy activities. It doesn't matter whether you're high or low. These things torment all living entities until we become purified through chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so then Gautama Rishi, while he's walking to take his bath, he's looking around and nobody else is up. There's nobody at the bathing cot. It's very dark out. This is not right. So he thought, maybe, you know, I don't know, I'll just go back home and wait. So he went back home and he finds Indra in bed with his wife. And furiously, he immediately cursed this person. This is the idea of Ishvara. Narad Muni certainly could have done this. Who's more potent, Narad Muni or Gautama Rishi? So he cursed Indra, that you're such a rascal that you're so attracted to this, yoni means woman's private parts, you should have these things all over your body. Isn't that disgusting? And Indra thought, oh my God, what to do now? That's even worse than looking in the mirror and seeing a goat's head, isn't it? So what could he do? Indra was absolutely, I mean, he went to this holy place, used to be called, I think, Gyanaranya in the south India. And he was executing extreme penances, severe austerities, trying to beseech everyone that he could to somehow or other overcome this problem. Therefore, the place is called Shuchindram, where Indra was purified. Shuchi means pure. See, still a famous holy place. The temple is there. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh together, they're worshipped. So, this is the idea that Daksha Maharaj had this samskar. Indra also had the same samskar. We all have our own samskars, isn't it? Nobody's coming in here with a tabula rasa. Everyone has some residue from previous, how many thousands and millions of eons of animalistic births. We're bringing that psychology with us. It's not going to go away that easily. But if we chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if we get the mercy of great souls like Narad Muni or Srila Prabhupada, and if we try to develop these wonderful characteristics that they show by their example only to show us, only to give us the ideal to work towards, then even in this short human life, tadapya dhruvam arthadam, we can attain the perfection of becoming a devotee of Krishna. We're all practicing right now probate bhakti. Probate bhakti means we're not really devotees yet. We're practicing bhakti abhas. But because we have the sponsorship of Srila Prabhupada or those who represent him, therefore we have some hope of rendering any acceptable service unto the Lord. Therefore, with all humility, we should humbly pray at the lotus feet of our spiritual masters to, as our acharyas have prayed like this, ekaki amar nahi pai bolo harinama sankirtane. Tumi kripa kori shraddha bindu diya deha krishna nama dhane. You please give me even this drop of faith. Sometimes I'm taking some Ayurvedic medicine. They give you little drops. You put it in water. A drop is so potent. If you take the whole thing, it may kill you. So you have to dilute it, right? But this faith is more potent than that. But it won't kill you. It will give you life. So even a drop of this faith, if we have a drop of the spiritual master's faith, then that is enough that we can also chant the holy name, real holy name. That means Shuddha Nam, not this Abhas Nam, Shadow Nam. Right now we're chanting Shadhu Nam, and so we get some benefit from it, but we can go on for millions of years like that if we are offensive. What kinds of offenses are there? To blaspheme the great devotees. This is what Daksha Maharaj has done. And what else is there? In Daksha's defense, one might argue, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures, because after all, Daksha is very fixed. He's a smarta. He's very fixed in following the Dharma Shastras. So and he could argue that this is, you know, you can't so cheaply dismiss these paths. These are the arguments that he's given to Narad Muni. So if we can avoid these offenses by cultivating this formula, simple formula, trinadapi sunichena, turoja sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Obiel Kapoor, they used to both live in Allahabad, Prayag, and he used to come and visit his shop. Srila Prabhupada had a chemist shop there in Allahabad. And Dr. Kapoor was losing his hair at that time. And he was noting that Abhay Charan Day, as he was called in those days, he was selling this hair tonic. So he picked up a bottle of hair tonic. He was musing over it. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, have you also got the tonic with which I can chant the holy name of the Lord or preach Krishna consciousness all over the world? And Prabhupada said, yes, I have that tonic also. He said, what's that? And he said, Trinadapi Sunichena, Torodavasishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One who feels himself more humble than the grass in the street, who is more tolerant than a tree, who is eager to give respect to others and does not hanker after it himself, that person can always chant the name of Hari. Now, looking back in retrospect, considering that Srila Prabhupada must have said this perhaps 50 or 60 years ago, and then looking at his accomplishments, just consider the magnitude of that statement. So, what else? I think we can stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Jyoti Karma Prabhu.
Two questions. Direct evidence. Two questions. Thank you for the nice, informative class. Two questions. Is there any direct evidence that Daksha did in fact become delivered, become a Vaishnava, become, you know, maybe a personality in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes or something? And the second question is the use of the word samskara. Like sometimes it's used in terms of some contamination from some previous act, and sometimes it's used as, you know, a process of deliverance. So can you explain the use, you know, the two uses of the word?
Well, I think there may be more uses even than two, because samskara simply means the imprint. That's literally what it means. Just like when you pick up a Hindi book and read it, it'll say prathama samskarana, dvitiya samskarana, so first, second, third edition, etc. So any activities that we perform will leave their trace, and they may be positive or they may be negative, and therefore we can hear them used in those both positive and negative contexts. Is that your question?
Yeah, that was the second question.
Okay, now for the first question as to what happened to Daksha after this, and did he ever actually become a Vaishnava, the Acharyas commenting on this whole episode, they point out that actually Narad Muni, he was the guru for the entire dynasty, beginning from Swayambhuva. He delivered everyone in Daksha's family. He delivered Prachina Bardhishat, for example. He delivered Dhruva Maharaj. These are all personalities that we've already heard about back in the fourth canto. And he delivered certainly these Hariashvas and later on the Savalashvas. But he could not deliver Daksha. That is stated. He was not able to deliver Daksha, was too attached. Or you could postulate as well that because Daksha had committed these offenses, perhaps therefore he was not able to actually become a pure devotee. That's what I can say. There may be other answers than this. I would have to research it. Amala Bhakta Prabhu, is that okay?
Thank you, yes.
Yeah. Just one question on that point. Did Narada Muni deliver King Uttanapad?
Yep,
he did. And Priyavrata, I assume that he did deliver him also. Okay, my comment is not in regard to what I just mentioned. It's that although Narada Muni, he tolerated and certainly set a very good example for all of us that if we're reproached or if we're blasphemed, to not get angry, not get upset, let the person get it all out of his system, so to speak, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had mentioned. But we should not think that that is the way he acts at all times, because we have the case of Manigriva and Nalakuvara, which is a totally different way he reacted. And although they said really nothing to him, they just acted very disrespectfully, walking out of the water with their and talking crazily, so to speak.
They were obliviously offensive.
Yeah. So Narada Muni, the way he showed compassion to those two was to actually curse them. And that curse, of course, became the greatest of blessings, because they took birth in the courtyard of Lord Sri Krishna and had the opportunity to actually see him. So sometimes a curse can be the greatest blessing, and anything that Narada Muni or great devotee of his caliber does, no matter what it may seem like, it's always good because they're guided by the supreme good.
That's a very, very good point. In fact, these very two personalities later on, they were appreciating Narada Muni after everything transpired and they saw Lord Krishna. They were very much appreciative. And Krishna himself says, when one is face to face with a sadhu, it's like seeing the sun. And that sadhu can benedict you in so many ways. Krishna was reminding them that they were indebted to this, this curse. Yeah, that's one thing. And then another point off of yours is that in Krishna consciousness, there is no static or set paradigm. Anything can be good or anything can be bad depending on the context and what Krishna desires. So in some contexts, it's desirable to show the behavior of a Vaishnava, of a sadhu, and to silently tolerate these abuses. And in another context, it may be necessary to fight, as Arjuna did, as Hanuman did. Yeah.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. Two devotees of the Lord, we have Daksha doing the managerial business for populating the universe, and Narada Muni for looking after the ultimate solution, both appreciated in the eyes of the Lord. Still, it seems like there's a little bit more priority and it's justified, you know, Narada Muni's behavior and attitude. So the comment that I want to make and question is that it reminds me in the times of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta when he had his mission carry on, and then devotees came, just like we also, many devotees come with different backgrounds, different qualities in doing their service. And some of them were more inclined to the shastric and reading and chanting, and the other ones, another group sided with the more managerial things, and they created a disturbance, and they were fighting among each other. In the eyes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, both of them were good. But in the neophyte stage, they were fighting and like that. So similarly for us, at the present time, sometimes we still have the same problem. Even if we call the Titiksha Vakarunika and so many verses like that, still. So my question would be, or maybe you can expand, isn't it that recommendable that for every group, in every organization, we have like a sadhu, just like in the Mahabharata or in the kings, they always surround themselves for check and balance and for advices, to have a saintly person who is completely detached from any kind of like compromising, or he just go for the truth. And can you expand in that? And that way we'll be protected. And the devotees who are doing the managerial thing wouldn't have to be, you know, like accused or like mistreated or criticized, because the sadhu is there to actually make the ultimate decision without interfering with the service of the managerial team, but actually helping them. Can you talk about it?
There is a nice poem written by Rudyard Kipling. The poem is entitled "The Dead Statesman." And he writes, "I could not dig, I dared not rob, therefore I lied to please the mob. Now all my lies are proved untrue, and I must face the men I slew. What tale shall serve me here among mine angry and defrauded young?" So this is the ethicist's perspective of the administrator. There's this eternal tension that goes on. It's noted amongst scholars of Hinduism, for example, between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. Since time immemorial, this conflict is going on. And you've pointed out that it was seen in the Gaudiya Math. It's also, to some degree, also in ISKCON, between, say, GBC authority and Guru's authority. So for a disciple, his Guru is the absolute authority, but he's not the absolute authority on an institutional level. Srila Prabhupada said, in terms of the management of the institution, that is the GBC. So we have to work it out. I was having a discussion with a devotee previously this week about a similar point. And there is a nice verse from the 11th canto which our acharyas quite often quote, actually. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Strangely, I haven't seen Srila Prabhupada quote it, but it's very useful here. He says that Paraswabhava karmani na prashamsen na garhayat. You should neither praise nor criticize the conditional natures and activities of others, whether they're devotees or not. Vishvam ekatmakam pashyan prakritya purushenacha. Instead, you should see the entire universe as a harmonious interplay of purusha and prakriti. Now, what does that mean, purusha and prakriti? Ultimately means Radha and Krishna, but is translated in the BBT edition as matter and spirit. So my point is this, that although relative, there are many relativities that we have to deal with within our society, ISKCON, and within the world at large. And there, because everything in Krishna consciousness has absolute importance, based on our absolute conviction and commitment to it, there's a lot of tendency for this kind of conflict. But we have to reconcile things on this absolute level. That if someone is making an honest attempt to serve Krishna, if someone is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and that person is following the process visibly, then we have to respect that, even if it gets in our way. Narad Muni's, Daksha Maharaj's purpose was to fill up the universe. Narad Muni's purpose was to empty out the universe. They're not compatible. And similarly, in our society, we may be working for one thing and someone else is working for something that is absolutely a threat to that very project. What to do? We're not attached to the results, we are attached to the internal result. That we have to cultivate. Whether we're developing love, yato bhaktir adhokshaje, savai pung samparo dharmo. That real religious principle is the ultimate point, which is pure devotional service. That alone is absolute truth. Nothing else is absolute. Is that okay? Okay, we should stop. It's getting late. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.